Morning, everybody, and welcome to this 1.5 day conference. I'd like to invite the Director General to make some opening remarks.
Thanks, Patrick. Glad to welcome you all to this inaugural conference of this TAIT program. One more example of our love for acronyms. TAIT stands for Thinking Ahead on International Trade, and it's a four-year research program run by the Graduate Institute for Trade and Economic Integration. We at the Secretariat are pleased to be a co-organizer of this meeting and to host it here in the WTO premises, I mean, at least for the moment. This inaugural conference is built around five thematic sessions over the next day and a half. And let me at the outset say that I'm pleased to encourage those who think and write about the multilateral trading system and its future to understand its kind of work. Although I must say, judging by the dozen studies and conferences about how to reform the WTO, I'm not sure my encouragements are entirely necessary. The quest to fix the WTO has become a highly popular pursuit, and I say this only semi-seriously. I am, and we are in the Secretariat, actually aware of the formidable challenges facing the multilateral trading system and our shared interest in addressing them. In considering the WTO and its future, I think we can make a useful distinction in terms of two strands of concerns. First, there are the challenges we face in addressing upcoming issues, changing realities in the international economy, new imperatives for rule-making among nations. These, if you like, are the exogenous or external forces we are required to respond to if the institution is to remain strong and relevant. These are matters whose emergence we cannot control, but in respect of which we can exert a constructive influence if we manage international cooperation effectively. The second locus of interest relates to the institution of the WTO and how it goes about its business, and that's about the processes, procedures that constitute our working methods. I do not doubt a minute that WTO, like other institutions, has plenty of room for improvement and in many domains, but neither have we stood still as an organization. We've experienced in the WTO significant, if often gradual, change in many of the ways we do business. And this process is likely to continue for as long as governments attribute value to the institution. Successful adaptation in business like ours, it seems to me, requires incremental evolutionary change. And those enthusiasts for dramatic reform, for going back to the drawing board, sometimes give me the impression of being more enamored of the elegance of their brave new designs than the practicability of what they suggest. As I said in my statement to the WTO membership last April, when I was candidate during one day for the next term as the WTO DG, and I apologize for quoting myself. In conclusion, no major surgery is needed in the WTO. No major overhaul of the system is required, but rather a long to-do list to strengthen the global trading system. I'm pleased to see that this conference focuses both on one or two of the external challenges facing our system in the future and on considerations relating to how business is done in the WTO. My first cursory look at what the organizers have produced by way of background documentation for the five roundtables suggests that none of you are aspiring revolutionaries. Rather, you are wise incrementalists. And this makes your effort more interesting and relevant and raises, I believe, the likelihood that decision makers might pay attention to what you have to say, which at the end of the day, I presume, is your purpose. The first roundtable of this conference asked this very pertinent question of why governments choose different venues for international cooperation on trade matters. This is an issue that has been with us for a long time as preferential trade agreements have multiplied. It hasn't been all bad, but we need to think about strengthening synergies and avoiding the divisiveness that multiple overlapping trade agreements can generate. And this means clarifying the case for the centrality of a global approach to trade relations in an increasingly complex and interdependent world. The second roundtable takes up a set of emerging issues relating to food, agricultural products, natural resources in the world economy. These are not exactly new issues, but they indeed pose growing challenges in relation to effective international disciplines. A range of specific questions emerge from the scope and content of trade rules to the roles of international standards, for instance, in agricultural trade. The third panel addresses a key emerging issue, that of international cooperation in dealing with climate change. This issue is now becoming central to discussions on international cooperation, and the search for viable solutions will tax the ingenuity and the cooperative spirit of governments. In this field, trade is certainly relevant, but in my view, not the core of what needs to be done now. The fourth panel looks at the WTO as a potential contributor to maintaining open trade in a time of economic crisis like the present. The WTO clearly has a role, but we need to understand more of what that role is, both in stemming protectionism and in contributing to the exit from the crisis. The WTO may be greater than the sum of its parts, but it cannot work effectively without the commitment and clear-headedness of its parts, that is, the members. And finally, the fifth panel looks at decision-making in the WTO. True, we've relied greatly on consensus decision-making in the WTO, and will doubtless continue to do so. Nevertheless, the background paper looks at other ways of taking decisions that could have advantages for the effectiveness the system, so long as any possible controlled departures from consensus fully protect all the rights of the entire membership. This is a challenging issue, and personally, I believe that the onus is on those who propose changes to this consensus practice to demonstrate the advantages of such changes. So I look forward to hearing how the deliberations of the next day and a half will progress, and I'm pleased to see that a range of government officials, scholars, business people have been invited to participate in the discussions. Before I conclude, however, there is an important point that I wish to emphasize. We cannot discuss change and the challenges of the future in isolation from full cognizance of the present. We cannot simply look ahead and set aside what we have on our plates today. The viability of the multilateral trading system, the order and predictability that underwrites it, and the economic prospects of countries around the world depend on our ability to finish what we started in the closing months of 2001, i.e. the Doha Round. We've been close, and I believe we are close enough and sufficiently like-minded to make closure possible, but we shall have to do so with a bit more hard work in order to close the few remaining gaps. None of the difficulties that this round has faced and overcome, none of the few difficulties that still remain to be addressed is, in my view, of a structural nature. It boils down to good old domestic politics. And I'm confident that WTO members can do it, and I'm even more convinced that we cannot afford the luxury of letting the negotiations languish into indefinite future, which is why leaders have given to their negotiators this 2010 target. This is the reality. We need to complete today's agenda if we are to even begin to look credible in addressing tomorrow's, which I agree with you, will have to be done sooner rather than later. So good to start preparing in opening the think box, but I hope that you will keep this idea where the reality is today in the back of your mind as you talk about the future, which I personally also love to do. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you very much indeed, Director General. Well, I'm going to invite Richard Baldwin to say a few words about the conference and whatever else. Richard.
Thank you very much, Patrick. First, let me thank the Director General for his opening remarks and hospitality of providing this venue for this conference. And I'd like to thank the participants for taking time from your busy schedules, especially the diplomats who have some talks going on, I've heard. And I'd like to thank the sponsors, which include the Graduate Institute, the Center for Trade and Economic Integration, and the Mercuria Foundation. Let me say a bit about the TATE program, Thinking Ahead International Trade. Let me give you the sales pitch for this program. Now, the WTO is one of the world's most precious public goods and has been for six decades. But as we heard from the Director General, and many of you are aware, it's in need of a bit of a upkeep, restoration. the last major updating of the institution was done in 94 based on an agenda set in 1986. And I need not remind you, but I will anyways, that the world is very different now. Geopolitically, we're in the middle of the Cold War, and that actually mattered for the GATT. Economically, the distribution of trade shares was much more skewed towards the Quad. The emerging countries weren't that important, and their lack of participation in some of the multilateral rounds was not an issue. Now, the emerging trade giants are a big issue in the world trading system. And their concerns and the things they need on the agenda were not on the 86 agenda, perhaps as they should have been. And most profoundly, the nature of trade has fundamentally changed since the mid-1980s, becoming a vastly more complicated matter, in particular when it concerns international supply chains. And now international trade is routinely a combination of foreign direct investment, intellectual property rights, temporary movement of key personnel, and access to world-class infrastructure services. This package was not reflected in the 1986 agenda and is something that perhaps the WTO can be working for in the future. But as the Director General said, we're certainly not the only ones to realize, to say nothing of climate change and many, many other challenges facing the world that the WTO will just have to deal with. But why one more project? Now, I'm a bit biased in this as I'm a competitor in the marketplace for ideas, but having gone to some of these conferences and read many of the outputs, I find that many of them misguided, politically naive, or just simply misinformed. And I think the reason, apart from the fact that many of them are pushed by particular special interest groups or particular regions, is because they have not taken advantage of the wealth of knowledge we have here in the WTO community. We have within the 1,000 meters of this room, the world's greatest stock of knowledge and wisdom on how the world trading system works, and in particular, how it's regulated and how it could be regulated. I therefore think a program on the medium-run issues in Geneva that draws on this wealth of knowledge involving diplomats, scholars, business community, and the NGOs is a very natural thing and hopefully will provide some more sensible ways forward than have been provided by other such initiatives. So we look forward very much to engaging over the next 4 years with the community on the causes, consequences, and cures of the challenges facing the system. I also very much believe that it's important to have this intellectual exchange and dialogue before the negotiating positions harden rather than afterwards. And it's important to hold that dialogue with this community so that all the voices are heard before all of you have to go home and form bargaining positions, perhaps avoiding some of the problems that arose with, for example, the Singapore issues, where the dialogue didn't happen sufficiently before. Let me just say one quick thing about the conference and thank the Director General for putting it into context. This is basically, our goal is to gather views and establish priorities for the next 4 years. That's why the conference is relatively thin and covers a broad range of issues. The future conferences will be much more focused and present in-depth, novel, policy-relevant research on particular issues such as climate change or whatever. So we're very much looking forward to hearing everybody's views on what should be the concerns and what are the medium-term challenges, what are the priorities. Not just to review the literature. It's really a thought-gathering and priority setting. So with that, I'll just stop there. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Richard. Now down to business. Those on the first session should come up here, and we will get started on time, I might note. Thank you very much.